You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
James just grew to have such a great faith, such a righteous life, such devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, and eventually such wisdom as a leader that godliness, that Christ-likeness, that he became more and more like his brother, that became so dominant that just from his spirit, from who he was, from his example, everyone saw a special work of God's grace in this man.
James underwent a miraculous transformation when it came to his faith. And today, Pastor Tom will be laying out the evidence that supports this. Not only was James the brother of the Savior of the world, he also rose to prominence in the early church. James would become a respected leader, so much so that even the apostles Paul and Peter would look to him for counsel. Only Jesus could do that kind of work in someone's life. Jesus can transform you too when you allow his grace to change your heart. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, Brother Bondservant.
You and I are certainly no better than James. Would you agree? If slave of Christ is good enough for him, then it's what? It's good enough for us. We too should be bound to our master in awe of him. James was changed. James is now a believer. James is born again by faith alone. You don't get born again by good works. And after this resurrection appearance, the very next picture that we have of James, James is now gathered with the other believers, then the disciples, in Acts chapter 1. Why don't you turn there? Acts chapter 1, and in Jerusalem, waiting for the descent of the Holy Spirit along with all the other believers. Turn to James 1. Acts 1 and verse 14. They've just seen the ascension of Christ. Verses 12, they come back to Jerusalem, then go to verse 14. It says, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his," what? Brothers. They're there. They're not unbelievers. They're here and gathered with the disciples, Mary too, as believers. James became a believer. And as a believer, James gathered with the church. Are you gathering with the church? Do you regularly gather with believers? Do you look forward to being with believers? James is an example. And not only James, please notice brothers is plural, right? What does that mean? He gave testimony to the younger brothers. Younger brothers listened. They believed too. It looks like James led them to faith. And they're gathered also. And I'm going to say presumably as sisters, though they're not mentioned. James must have told them. And through James's testimony, they are there too. Now the whole family, Joseph is dead, remember the father, he's gone. The whole remaining family is united, and they're united under the lordship of Jesus the Christ with all the other Jews who had believed. Now remember, everyone that was a Christian at this time was not called a Christian. They were all just part of the way, and they were all, every last one of them, Jews. Now, what happened after this? This is James the believer. What happened after this? Well, the scripture doesn't use James's name in Acts 2 and Acts 3 and Acts 4 and all of that. The James that pops up there is James the apostle. So, as far as we know, James the Lord's brother, along with the other brothers of the Lord, stayed connected right to that church in Jerusalem. This was their home church now. This was their local church, and they stayed dedicated to that original church. Remember, from the church in Jerusalem, all the other churches throughout the Roman Empire would come. All the other churches, in fact, down through church history, have come from this one mother church. The church did not begin in Rome, people. It began in Jerusalem, right? Now, I'm sure the family had to travel back to Nazareth some, at least at some point. Maybe they stayed there for a period of time, but Jerusalem became their home. That is where James stayed. He was part of that very dramatic and dynamic church that we read about and don't have time to cover this morning in Acts 2, where it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. There in Acts 2, it talks about the dynamic aspect of that local church. They were day by day continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. See, they were pouring out with thanksgiving in this church, right? Also, it says there in verse 47 of Acts 2, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. James was in there. He was one of the thousands and thousands that were in that church. And also, in that church, James must have functioned as one of the very, very limited eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus chose to reveal himself only to the ones that he wanted, and they were limited. And they, by those special resurrection appearances, became important to the church in bearing testimony that he indeed was the Messiah of Israel. In fact, I think, as we put together other comments from Scripture and also from church history, that this family, the family of Jesus, remained a close, tight-knit family all the way through life. It's a beautiful story. You find several times in Scripture the brothers of the Lord, and the brothers of the Lord are functioning as a group. You hear about the apostles, the disciples, and then it mentions the brothers. They're still hanging out. They're still together. They're still a group. They traveled together. They remained a group. The family remained very close. Now, through this, the passage of time, James in that church somehow, and we're not told how, grew in influence. He grew in prominence. And we're not given the details of that story, so we have to fill it in a little bit. We would say, well, why did he grow in influence? What happened to him? And we could say, well, in part it must have been because he was a brother of the Lord. That had to be part of it. He was, James, a brother of the Lord. They were called the brothers of the Lord. That was a special place they had in the church. The church was very happy to have the brothers of the Lord in their congregation. Imagine that. And they had some prominence because of that. But I don't think that that was the greater reason why James rose to prominence. I think even more was the fact that he in particular, not Jude, not the other younger brother, Simon, the other brother called Joseph, but he in particular saw the resurrected Christ. And so that was important. But I don't even think that was the main reason he grew in such prominence. I think the main reason, with those others alongside that, was James just grew to have such a great faith, such a righteous life, such devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, and eventually such wisdom as a leader that godliness, that Christ-likeness, that he became more and more like his brother, that became so dominant that just from his spirit, from who he was, from his example, everyone saw a special work of God's grace in this man. So I want us to consider James now in that third and that final role, not just as brother of the Lord, not just as bondservant of Christ or believer in Christ, but third as the bishop or the overseer of the church. Now I want us, since we're in Acts, to go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 12 and to verse 1. In Acts 12, verse 1, we're skipping a lot of church history here, but it says there in verse 1, "Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them." Now look at verse 2, Acts 12, 2. "And he had James, the brother," not of Jesus, notice, "but James, the brother of" who? "John, put to death with a sword." Probably means his head was chopped off or something. So James, that is, the apostle James, the James of James and John, now is put to death here in Acts 12, 2. Herod saw that that pleased the Jews, and so he proceeded to arrest Peter also. So Peter is going to be locked up in jail now. But by this time, James, the Lord's brother, remember, James the apostle is dead, so the James that's going to be talked about in the rest of Acts is now not the one who just was killed, right? So this is the other James. This is James, the Lord's brother. And he has risen to such prominence by Acts 12 that when Peter is arrested and then the angel comes and delivers Peter from jail, Peter comes to that prayer meeting, amen, for the prayer meeting, right? He comes to the prayer meeting. He's been delivered from jail because of the prayer meeting. They have a hard time believing that he's delivered, by the way, that they had an answer to prayer. But Peter shows up, and finally when he gets a chance to talk to them, Peter says, Peter, the leader of all the apostles, Peter says, look all the way down to verse 17, he tells the prayer meeting there, "Report these things to," and here it is, "James." James, which James? Not James the apostle. James the Lord's brother. Report it to James, and notice he's the head of the brethren. And then it says Peter left and went to another place. He had to hide because they're looking for his life too. I mean, out of all the people in that giant church there in Jerusalem, Peter said, report to James. Report to James. Wow! James was functioning as the leader of the brethren of that church. James had become the most prominent leader of the church by this time. Remember, this was a mega church. Now, many of them had been scattered by this time also, but it had grown to be a mega, mega church. At some points, estimates could go way beyond 30, 40,000 believers in that church in Jerusalem. And it had tremendous influence over the entire district of Jerusalem and Judea. Many of the Pharisees had come to faith. It says many of the priests had come to faith. So you have Pharisees converted in there, and you have priests converted in there. The apostles were in there. Since the early church had prophets, prophets were in there. It was a highly influential church, and yet James was recognized even by Peter as the leader of them all. That is amazing. That is amazing. Now, you might think, that was just a one-time thing. Peter's running for his life. That means the other apostles were probably running for his life. So they kind of went down, kind of like the president had been shot and the vice president was shot, you know. And you have to go down to like the fifth or sixth guy to find out who the leader's going to be or something like that. Then maybe it was a situation like that. And James just temporarily had to fill the void, and he really wasn't all that great. He was just one of the leaders there. But no. The rest of the book of Acts indicates that James was even respected by the remaining 10 apostles. I want you now just to keep flipping to Acts chapter 15. Acts 15. By the time we get to Acts 15, the church has been persecuted in Jerusalem. A vast number of the brethren have fled Jerusalem. That seems like a bad thing, but it was good because it means the gospel spread everywhere beyond Jerusalem. They've gone out into Judea. They've gone into Samaria. They've gone out into Galilee. They've gone beyond that, even to the Gentile world. And a very influential church has grown and developed, the church at the city of Antioch. From this church in Antioch, we read in Acts chapter 13 and 14 that Paul and Barnabas were set apart by the Holy Spirit and were sent out on what would become known as Paul's first missionary journey, right? In this missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas are preaching the gospel in the surrounding regions there in Acts 13 and 14, and we see a pattern. The Jews are consistently rejecting the gospel about Jesus. On the other hand, the Gentiles are consistently embracing the gospel of Jesus. Gentiles flooding into the church, Jews saying, no thank you, and even persecuting the apostles. So we have a mass of Gentiles now that are filling into the church. The whole church was originally Jewish. Now the number and percentage of Jews in the church is shrinking. The percentage of Gentiles is increasing. And that mass of Gentiles in the church has created a huge doctrinal problem and question for the early church. And the question is this: must the Gentiles who are believing in Jesus convert to Judaism, be circumcised, and be told to keep the law of Moses if they want to be saved? Yes or no? There was a group of them that were still saying yes in the church. And there was a group that was saying no, of which Paul was a part of that. There was much dissension and debate. This got to be such a bad issue that the only way to keep this issue from tearing apart the unity of Christ's church was to gather all of the leaders together. And of course, they went right back up to the mother church where it all started, and they went to Jerusalem, and they all sat down to try to settle this issue. It was the most important doctrinal issue for the entire church up to this point. So important that in Acts 15, it records the first ever ecumenical church council, what has been come to be known as the Jerusalem Council. Notice in verse 2, when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. This is about how the Gentiles came to faith. Look at verse 6. The apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. Now, verse 7 indicates that there was much debate there. And then it goes on to talk about how Peter relayed what God had done through him in the conversion of Cornelius and granting the Holy Spirit to them by faith apart from keeping the law of Moses. Cornelius had come to faith through faith in the gospel, and he was saved. So everybody gets their turn. Everybody gets their say. Everybody speaks. But I want you to notice in Acts chapter 15 and verse 13, who is it that gets to speak last? After they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, "Brethren, listen to me." This is shocking. I mean, these apostles are here, the elders are here, Paul's here, Barnabas is here. I mean, there could have been 30, 40, 50 people in this room. Then James goes on in verses 14 through 18, and he sums up what Peter has said and what Peter has relayed to the council. Then he quotes an Old Testament scripture to prove that the conclusion that Peter came to was the right one. He points to the scripture. Now I want you to zero in on verse 19. Without any more discussion from anybody, everybody has given their input. James declares, verse 19, therefore it is, what does he say? My judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles, but that we write to them. And then he goes on to say, this is what we ought to put in that letter when we write to them. Oh, that's strong language. Therefore, it is my judgment. Now, again, you might try to minimize that, and you might say, well, James was just saying something like, well, I've heard all of you guys talk. Now, let me give my 2 cents. But James uses the word judgment, and this is an official council, and so that word has some formality to it. And his judgment is taken by everybody in that council as the final word. Do you see that? And by the way, some of the Judaizing elements of that council, I'm sure, were hoping that James would side with them, but he did not. He sided with Peter's observations and with what the Holy Spirit had confirmed. And it's interesting, he doesn't even mention Paul and Barnabas. But from the response of everybody there, we learn that Paul and Barnabas and Peter and John and the other apostles and the elders, all of them were very comfortable with James's leadership in this church. As I said, there may have been many of these leaders there. We don't know how many elders would be under that bracket with such a large church. But James sums it all up, and James speaks for them, and James renders a judgment. Now later, just to balance this a little bit, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 4, it says that the Jerusalem Council's decision that was made, quote, by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. And so James should never be viewed as a pope. Everyone's looking for a pope in the church, you know? Who's going to be the head honcho? He didn't view himself as the pope. I guess if you were going to say if there was any pope in the first century, and there wasn't, don't misquote me, there was no pope. But if there was one, it wasn't Peter. It wasn't John. It wasn't even our beloved Paul. If there was one person that was looked upon as the leader, it would have been James, the Lord's brother. Listen to what Dr. Will Varner says about James and this passage. The text is clear that James rendered the final decision as the moderator of the church council, to which the apostles and brethren agreed as also being the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It is very important to take note of the crucial language attributed to James as he introduces his concluding decision in chapter 15, verse 19. Many translators blunt the force of these words that to any Greek reader would mean, therefore, I decide. This is followed by the pronoun ego, I, which is not needed in the Greek, so it must be added for particular prominence and emphasis. In other words, therefore, it is my decision that. That is powerful and strong. Dr. John MacArthur writes, the plurality of elders did not negate James's primary leadership role, as equality of apostolic office did not negate Peter's leadership of the 12. This is amazing. This is what James has become in the church. The Apostle Paul also testifies to James's prominence in his letter to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. There he talks about his visit to Jerusalem and meeting with the strongest, what he calls, pillars of the church. Those men who were the most influential, who were the pillars of the church, and he puts them in this order, James and Cephas and John. Cephas is Peter's Aramaic name. James first, then Peter, then John, and he says they were reputed to be pillars. The big three, James comes first. That's fascinating. Again, that's not James the apostle, that's James the Lord's brother. The order of the action must not be missed either. It's at that time where Paul says that James and Peter gave to Barnabas and I the right hand of fellowship that we might go to the Gentiles while they went to the Jews. The initiation came from James. James reached out to Paul and said, here's my right hand of fellowship. Let's shake. You are a brother. You are a fellow worker. Go to the Gentiles and we will go to the Jews. And it was extended by James, again showing his leadership role. One last glimpse of James's rise to prominence is in Acts 21. I'm not going to have you turn there just for time's sake, in verse 18 and following. Years later, Paul has gone through missionary journeys. I think he's done with at least three of them. And he comes back to Jerusalem, and James is still there in Jerusalem. And the apostles have probably been traveling all over the world by this time. But James, the Lord's brother, remains stationary there in Jerusalem. And Paul comes back, and there's been a lot of controversy around Paul's ministry. And the Jews are saying, you know, Paul's telling them not to keep the law of Moses, and Paul's bad this, and Paul's causing troubles this. And James is a man of peace and a man of unity for his church. And he very wisely, when Paul enters into the city, he pulls Paul aside and says, Paul, here's what you need to do. You need to follow my advice, Paul, and you need to do this and do this. And Paul, without any argument at all, follows James's instruction. We can deduce from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that since James and the other brothers of the Lord got married eventually, had believing wives, and that they traveled around also for the sake of the word of God, that James was very interested in the travels of Paul, very interested in the progress of the church beyond Jerusalem and Judea, very much rejoicing in the Gentiles coming to faith. He had extended to Paul the right hand of fellowship, and when Paul reported back to Jerusalem, James again guided Paul what to do, and Paul listened to this dear man. Again, I want to quote Dr. Varner, who's written a fascinating commentary on James. He writes, a careful reading of Luke's account in Acts and Paul's comments in Galatians fully supports the idea that James was not merely a significant leader in the early church and not just the leader of the Jerusalem church, but that he was the leader of the church. The implications of this fact are significant, not only for the Roman Catholic attitude toward Peter, but also the Protestant evangelical attitude toward Paul. If a stranger arrived in Jerusalem or in Antioch between the years AD 40 through 62 and asked, who is the person in charge of this movement? Any knowledgeable Christian, including Peter or John or Paul, would have answered without hesitation, James. Moreover, he would not have needed to add the brother of Jesus, because everyone would have known that there was only one person who would be instantly recognized by that single name without any additional description or qualifier. This is amazing. His power and his prominence, and yet his humility and his cooperation. Somewhere during this time, in the midst of James's leadership in Jerusalem, and really his leadership that rippled out from that church, he sat down and he penned this letter that bears his name, that we're going to study, James. Actually, in Greek, Jakobos, Jacob, but it's translated for us, James. Again, we know this was the brother of the Lord who penned this, because the other two Jameses that are mentioned in the New Testament were hardly known at all. There's nothing prominent said about them. They never spoke. They never led anything. No one would have known them by the single name James. And James the apostle, who was prominent enough to have written this, died very early, as we saw. So the only one who qualified as the author of this book is James, the Lord's brother. Who else had the one word recognition, the one name recognition? James, with nothing else that's added. Kind of like people say Elvis today, you know, and you're like, well, we know who that is. Or Madonna. That's a very bad analogy, I understand. But it's that one name recognition. In fact, when Jude was trying to give what gave him a right to write the letter that he did, in verse 1 he says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and he's not prominent enough, so he says, and brother of James. That's all he needed. He didn't need anything else. He knew when he gave that as an intro that that would be received and accepted.
Today, Pastor Tom ventured into additional books of the Bible to show you exactly how respected and treasured James was as a spiritual leader. Pastor Tom pointed out passages where James was the final decision maker in controversial discussions and how the apostles looked to him for advice and wisdom. Jesus certainly changed the life of his younger brother, and he can do the same for you, no matter who you are. We're blessed to be able to share the good news of the gospel with our listeners through the ministry of Discover Hope. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus yet, or if you have more questions, we invite you to visit the What Does It Mean to Be a Christian page under the About Us at hopebible.org. This will provide you with a concise description of why you need Jesus in your life and how you can be free from sin. We'd like to speak and pray with you too, so please give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. Again, that's 443-200-HOPE. Pastor Tom will continue to dive into the background of the younger brother of Jesus, James, when you join us next time on Discover Hope. Not only will you hear biblical truth about this man of God, you'll also hear about the people he wrote his letter to and why it was important for him to pen those words. Pastor Tom will share details and lessons that you will learn as you continue to study the book of James. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Discover Hope. You can listen to more messages from this and other books of the Bible by visiting hopebible.org. And be sure to join us again, right here on Discover Hope.